Yeah, Scott, what's been the reaction to another delay? How's everyone feeling mentally?
Well, I think it depends on, you know, the situation, why we're being delayed and so forth. I think in this case, it's probably for the best. I think it eased some minds because we're a little concerned with our numbers, and the situation in South Australia is different than the other states as far as the rules of contact tracing and things like that. So it just bought us a little bit more time to get organized and figure out where we're at. So I think in this case, it was good. But overall, the delays are pretty frustrating, probably for everyone, from the players and coaches to the fans. You know, we just want to see some basketball. So I wish we could get some clarity to our schedule, but hopefully that's coming this week.
When you say you're concerned about your numbers, do you have some players who are in COVID protocols themselves?
Yeah, we got a couple guys in protocols right now. And basically the process is that we have been testing every day on the rapid tests, or the rats, as they're being called. I actually saw a big rat on the trail walking yesterday, and I'd rather get tested than run into that guy again. But anyway, we do that every day before training. And then I don't know the science of those. I don't think they're 100%, but if they're, it's kind of the first red flag. So if you test positive on that, you get shut down immediately, and then you go for a PCR test. So we're waiting on a few PCR tests. So we didn't have a full group today. But I think I've learned over the last 2-3 seasons that when there's smoke, there's fire. So we're just kind of taking things one day at a time. And I think the delay was good to take the pressure off in this case.
So exactly how many guys are facing those tests? How many weren't able to come to training? You said a couple, and then you said a few. Are you able to give us a definitive number?
We had 9 players in practice today. Not everybody was out because of that. Still a couple of nagging injuries here and there, but I can't really, you know, say who specifically was out or in, but we were less than 10, and you know, if those tests come back positive, I wouldn't be surprised if we're below that number in the next day or two. But it's one of those things where you just wake up and see who you have, and then you plan accordingly.
You must be nervous that your players may have COVID then, if those first tests are starting to come back with not good results. Are you starting to get worried that the group has now been infected?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of knew this was going to happen. Not to be a pessimist or anything like that. I'm definitely not making light of the virus itself, but just based on, I think every team has a threat or a confirmed case of COVID right now in the league. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I believe is happening. So once they took us out of Perth, it was going to happen eventually. I thought maybe we could hang on a little longer than one game, but it's tough when you're, you know, in this area of the country where things are firing off. And even in Tasmania here, I think I read a headline in the paper saying there was 2,000 cases a day now, or they're reaching that point. So it's everywhere. It's very, very contagious, this strain of the virus. So it was kind of inevitable that it would happen. And we spoke about it before we left as a team. You know, we're going to try our best and be as careful as we can, both for our own health purposes and our teammates, but also for basketball reasons. And it was inevitable that it would happen. Now, I think we just do our best to avoid it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to get it, it's almost better to everyone just to get it. Like at the same time, everyone that's going to get it at the same time. I'd rather no one get it. But if it's going to happen, at least you can kind of keep your team together in the same place and on the same schedule.
Is it viable just to chuck everyone in a room then and just say, let's just all live with it together at the exact same time? Is that a tactic you could actually use, or would that be getting you into health problems?
We were at the grocery store, and I made everyone lick the handles of the trolleys to see if we could just get it done. No, I'm obviously kidding. And I really don't want to make light of the situation. It's just kind of the world that we're in right now. Like in sports, everyone's dealing with it. And it's almost become part of the, I wouldn't say strategy, but it's like It's like you wake up and you figure out what you're going to do at practice. You also figure out who you have available because of COVID. And it's a shame that we're in this situation, but I think everyone on the team has done their best to prepare for this moment in terms of, you know, being healthy and being vaccinated and everything else. And we're also doing our best to avoid it with our masks and our hygiene and, you know, cleaning and being, making sure we're the only ones in the rooms and all the other kind of stuff, limiting our contact. We're doing everything we're supposed to do, everything we can do. It's just, it seems like in the world right now, it's a really tough thing to avoid, even if you're being careful.
Just one more for me before I throw it to someone else. Do you have concerns about going to South Australia? They have different rules. The South Australian Premier yesterday said face-to-face without masks indoors for 15 minutes is enough to be considered a close contact. We know the rest of the country is different. That's a basketball environment. It's impossible if one person becomes a close gets it to not be a close contact to the rest of the team. Do you worry about moving to that state next week for a game?
100%. I'm not even going to pretend I don't. That was a big thing for me. You know, there's two parts. There's the health part, which we're trying our best, and then there's the basketball part, which is my job to deal with. And, you know, it's a kind of thing where this thing might show up 24, 36, 48 hours later. So even if you test negative in Tasmania, you might catch the positive test in Adelaide. Then you're stuck there for, you know, 10 days to 14 days. The team is separated. You're not in as comfortable as a situation. Like, we have a pretty decent situation here, all things considered. If you're going to get stuck quarantining somewhere, I'd rather be here than Adelaide. So that was a big concern leaving on the trip, because before we left, it was before you had told me about Prime Minister Morrison's announcement. That was the last time we spoke. So that was big for sports, just the extending of the time for a close contact. And with South Australia not doing the same thing, I'm not saying it's right or wrong from a political or a health standpoint, but from a basketball standpoint, definitely make things more difficult. If one person on the team catches a positive, then everyone's out. Whereas in every other state, it depends on whether you test positive or negative. So again, I'm not taking a side or saying what's right or wrong for politics or human nature, but for basketball teams, that state is definitely harder to deal with and it's risky to go in there.
Thanks, Craig. I will go to Jasper from News Corp.
Hey, Scott. You guys have obviously had at least one game there against the Taipans since all this COVID stuff erupted. Do you feel, especially for the teams like the Sixers, like the Hawks, that are going on almost 3 weeks without actually getting on the court, do you feel for those guys?
Nah. I mean, they're our rivals, so I don't really – I mean, I want them to be healthy and not – I never root for sickness or injury or anything like that. But at the same time, I'm not rooting for anybody to get a break other than us. I'm sure they're not rooting for us to catch any breaks, and they're not shedding any tears for us being away from home for 6 weeks. So no, I don't feel bad, but I think that that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, they had a disadvantage for a minute, but it almost worked in their favor that the rules didn't change in Australia, because when they caught their cases, every state was the same. And they weren't forced to play with half a team. Whereas now, with less contact tracing, the situation could definitely happen where, you know, four or five guys are out and the rest of the team can play, and you're forced to play shorthanded, where those games had to be postponed. So I think they actually, in the short term anyway, if every team is to get COVID at some point in time, they got it at the right time, because it didn't cost them any games in terms of having a full roster. I think now the league is going to try and push for replacement players. And as long as you have eight guys, you can play. So one or two guys getting COVID doesn't eliminate your whole team. But if in theory, every player is important. So if you're going in shorthanded, that's a disadvantage. So in a certain way, those guys kind of took the brunt of it early. But maybe history will show they got it at the right time, if there is such a thing.
Thanks, Coach.
I think we've got Steph from Channel 10 there.
Hello. I think my question's already sort of been answered, but is there any indication then if this would extend your stay on the road?
I don't know that answer, to be honest. I think everyone's hoping no, obviously. I think that I could be wrong in saying this, but I think that all depends on Western Australia and what the rules are there. Obviously, everyone on our team and our families back home are rooting for that February 5th deadline, and we're happy to comply with any new rules or restrictions that require us to do to get home. We don't want to be out in the road any longer than we have to. So I hope it doesn't. I think if anything, it'll just limit the amount of games we get to play until we see that new schedule.
Thanks, Steph. Tom from ABC.
Hey, guys. Scott, just a quick one. How have you assessed the way the NBL has been managing the COVID situation across the league over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I'll say it's easy to complain when you're in this situation about, you know, the NBL or someone else not doing their job. But then you look at the big picture and you see how hard it is to get tested, how few tests are available, how long you have to wait for tests. And it's hard to place the blame on any one person or any one group. We had a hotel in Adelaide where a testing center was next door, and there was a 3-hour lineup all day for people to get tested. I'm not going to say whether that was a smart thing or not to have all those people lined up, but it just kind of opened your eyes to the situation that everyone's in here. And that's, you know, I'm not sure that anyone was expecting this ramp up with cases. And I'm sure everyone's scared because this country's gone so long without having them. And it just makes it hard to operate because the league depends on testing to make sure we know who's negative, who's positive, to try and limit the spread. And when it takes 5 hours or 3 hours or whatever to get tested and then another day and a half, 2 days to get your results back, it makes things hard to manage. So I'm not going to blame anybody. It's a tough situation for everyone in the world. And this is just our burden that we have to take on as people that are trying to have sports in a pandemic.
Can you just take us through what the process is for your team each day in terms of testing? So, like you say, you take a RAT test, and then if that comes back positive, you have to get a PCR test. What's the process there for you guys?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll give Josh Kavanaugh, our sports scientist, as he enjoys me be calling him that, a lot of the credit. He's doing all the work. He gets us all our RAT tests. The league sent us some RAT tests that we're supposed to use every day for training. Today, they almost ran out, but I think we have more on the way because it's really tough to get them. And Josh has been trying to, you know, just go buy some at different stores to make sure we have enough. But everyone has to RAT test before we train. We send in the picture of the positive or negative test to him. If it's negative, we're good to go. If it's positive, he tries to get you a PCR test. And depending on the state, depending on the city, depending on what he can do, you might have to go wait in line. You might be able to drive up and get one. So it's really a kind of a coin toss as to what happens after you get that positive. But obviously you stay in your room and you avoid contact with others and until you get your results back. Like I said earlier, I don't know the science, but I think the RAT tests aren't 100% accurate, but oftentimes when there's a positive on the RAT, there's a good chance you get a positive on the PCR, but until you get that positive on the PCR, you're not deemed a positive by the league. So I think it's a 7-day period. You got to wait, and then you got to pass some tests at the end of that. And that 7 days starts when you get tested, and you just quarantine until you get your results back. But your clock has already started.